Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Having completed our study of the book of Obadiah, we are now making applications and drawing lessons from this book that are pertinent to those of us who live in America in the 21st century. And indeed, most of these lessons are applicable to any people in any place in any time. They're timeless applications, but we want to make them very, very realistic and contemporary to our situation today. Now, you may recall that the first lesson is the deceitfulness of sin. Well, actually, going back a few more broadcasts, we started with a lesson on the trustworthiness of Scripture and then a second one on the obligations of brotherhood. But for the last several days, we have been talking about the deceitfulness of sin and how that is illustrated for us in this book of Obadiah. But we moved yesterday from the deceitfulness of sin to the root cause of sin. And the root cause of sin is pride. And that is established in verse 3, where the prophet says, "The pride of your heart," speaking to Edom, "the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock." And from there, we saw the satanic beginning of sin in Satan and his pride, Lucifer, lifted up in pride and sinned against Almighty God. We saw the multiple manifestations of the root of sin being pride in the book of Obadiah as it applied to the nation of Edom and the specific things that God directed his judgments against, which were all issues of pride for that nation. And we're going to go on from there today to see the destructive distortions of pride, and the divinely promised suppression of pride. So there's where we are headed on this Thursday, May 28, 2020. We're glad that you were able to join us today, and we're grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, in regard to the destructive distortions of pride, I would simply go back to the multiple manifestations and point out that all five of these deceived Edom to rely on self, not upon God. Their quest for status, their pride in their military might and strength, human strength, their pride in their wealth, their comfort in their friendships, and their pride in their human wisdom were all issues that caused them to feel that they didn't need God. They didn't need to rely on him. And of course, that is Satan's greatest deception. And that is sin's greatest deception. It all goes back to this pride that causes human beings to think that we can be independent from God. And the fact of the matter is, we cannot. So that brings us, therefore, to the divinely promised suppression of pride. And for this, I turn to a statement in the New Testament. In the book of James, chapter 4, and verse 6, we read, "But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And it follows that up in verse 10 by saying, "Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." So I read that again. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift you up. Now, this quotation from James chapter 4 is actually carried over from the Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 34. And so it is stated both in the Old and the New Testament. It would have been available to the people of God in the day that Obadiah ministered. It would have been available to the people of Edom. They would have had the copies of God's word available to them at the day when Obadiah was ministering to them. And so this general principle that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble ought to be very, very significant in our thinking. We should be looking to root out vestiges of pride in our lives. We ought to be doing that regularly. We ought to be doing that daily. We ought to be going before the Lord in prayer every day and say, Lord, I know that I have areas of pride in my life, some of which I don't even clearly see. I'm quite sure of that, because pride can be so deceitful and blinding. But, oh Lord God, please show me these areas of pride in my life that I might suppress them, that I might deal with them, that I might humble myself before you, because I believe your word that says God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. I don't want you opposing me. I want you helping me. I want your grace. And I realize the only way to receive that is to humble myself before you. Because God resists the proud. And that's why we should, therefore, as verse 10 of James 4 says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. And when we humble ourselves in the sight of God, what will God do? God gives grace, according to verse 6 of James chapter 4. God will lift you up, according to verse 10 of James chapter 4. So, if you want God's help, humble yourself in the presence of God. If you want God to lift you up, humble yourself in the presence of God. If you don't think you need God and you can go your own way and forget about God and don't need to rely upon him, or so you think, then you go on in your pride and you exalt yourself, but you're going to be cut down because why? God, what? Resists the proud. Now, dear folks, I don't need to tell you, please, I don't need to tell you, that if you get into a contest with God, you're never going to win. Nobody has ever won a fight against God. Nobody has ever wrestled him to the ground. Nobody has ever beaten God in a contest. If God resists, this is talking about active resistance, opposes, if God opposes the proud, then you can be sure that he will cut you down to size. You're not going to be able to overcome God. God will overcome you every time that there is a conflict between you and God. And God tells us what the conflict is about. It's about our pride. God resists the proud. And that's all of us in our sinfulness. We all have it. We all have pride. We all have too much pride. But if we will recognize it, if we will identify it as best we can and ask God to help us to identify it more accurately and more thoroughly, if we will suppress it, if we will humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, then God will lift us up. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you need grace? Do you need divine help? Do you need God's favor, God's unmerited favor? Then what do? Humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of God, and God will lift you up. But God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that brings me, therefore, to the third lesson. Well, I guess now the fifth, if we go all the way back. But to this next lesson, which is the humility of grace. It ties right in with what we have just been talking about. We've been talking, first of all, about the deceitfulness of sin, and secondly, the root of sin, which is pride, and now we come to the humility of grace, because, as we've seen from the book of James, God strips away pride. Now notice what it says in Obadiah verse 17, "But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness." On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. God strips away pride, which in essence is self-worship or will worship. He delivers us from what? From judgment, yes, to be sure, for on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. He's talked in the previous verses, just immediately prior to verse 17, about his judgment upon Edom and his judgment upon the nations, but on Mount Zion there will be deliverance. So yes, there's deliverance from judgment, but there's more than that. There's deliverance from judgment plus deliverance to something, which is holiness. Isn't that what verse 17 says? But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. If there is deliverance, then you can be sure there will also be holiness. So there is deliverance from judgment, but there's deliverance to something, and that something is holiness. And that, of course, requires changed hearts and lives. And what that basically is, in the place of pride, God will bring holiness. On Mount Zion, there's deliverance. Mount Zion is the place where the sinner meets God, where the sinner humbles himself before God, where the sinner casts himself upon the mercy of God. And on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance from judgment, and there shall be deliverance to holiness. And so in the place of pride, there's going to be humility and repentance and confession and a new desire to live righteously, not selfishly. That's what it boils down to. Grace strips away pride. We're talking about the humility of grace, which means that those who have experienced the grace of God should not be proud. And when you find someone who considers himself a champion of grace, but he manifests a great deal of pride, you can be certain that he has not experienced a very great measure of grace yet. And you can also be sure that God is going to resist him and going to bring him down, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So, God has a way of humbling us. And on Mount Zion, there is deliverance. There is deliverance to holiness, which means in the place of pride, there is humility and repentance of sin and confession. Repentance is turning from sin. Confession is acknowledgement of sin. I probably should put those in the opposite order. And in the place of pride, which is living for self, this is self-worship and will-worship, where we want our own way. That's our pride. But in the place of that, there is now a new desire to live righteously. That's what God's deliverance consists of. That's what salvation does, is another way of putting it, to jump it right over from Old Testament language into New Testament language that we can understand. Here's what God's salvation does. It humbles us. It brings us to repentance and confession. It gives us a desire to live righteously, which is the opposite of living in pride, the opposite of living selfishly. That's what God's deliverance does. If you have been delivered by God's grace, then this is what it is producing in your life. If those things aren't in evidence in your life, then you need deliverance. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.